Let me read the wordings to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. It's one of the Trinity songs. We have about three or four Trinity songs among the new ones. Amen. So thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You are worthy of my praise. You gave your son to die for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I will praise you all my days. You gave your life to save my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. I will serve you all my days. You fill my life with your power. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you, thank you, I thank you. The chorus is not perfectly the same in each stanza. That's why it is repeated. So we listen to the tune and then we'll sing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You are worthy of my praise. You gave your son to die for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I thank you, my Father. I thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I will praise you all my days. You gave your life to save my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus Christ. I thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Thank you, dear Holy Spirit. I will serve you all my days. You fill my life with your power. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Amen. My God is great. We are going for the next direct teaching. Let's stand up to pray.
Touch me once again, oh Lord. This is my prayer. Touch me once again, oh Lord. Oh Lord, touch me today. Touch me once again, oh Lord. Touch me once again, oh Lord. Father, come and touch me once again, oh Lord. Touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me once again, oh Lord. Oh Lord, touch me today, touch me once again, oh Lord. Touch me right now, touch me once again, oh Lord. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After the wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend he made the need of my heart. Shadow dispelling with a joy I am telling him, he'll do the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glorified my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins are washed away. I'm man now, was torn today. Heaven came down and glorified my soul. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. He's still working on me.
Blessed Father, our Father, our God, our King, our Savior, to you be all glory, adoration ascribed today and forever in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this conference and for what you are using it to do for us as individuals, as a church. Thank you for all you have planned to do and you are doing. We are grateful to you, O Lord. As we are continuing the sharing of your word, Father, make more known to us. Tell us your mind. Make us to understand. What you want us to do, make it so clear. Give us the enablement to abide by your word. Not only to live right, but also to do right in the work of the ministry. Help us, O Lord. May we not be among those whose labor will be in vain, whose services will be rejected. Amen. At the end, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Give us the grace to do your work and do it well.
Amen.
So that we'll hear, "Well done, faithful servant," at the end.
Amen.
As a church, oh Lord, keep us at the center of your will.
Amen.
We will not fail.
Amen.
We will not fall.
Amen.
We will not derail.
Amen.
We will do well. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Satan, I order you, keep away from our gathering. Amen. Stay away from us.
Amen.
You can't walk here.
Amen.
Keep away in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Everlasting Father, we are grateful to you because of what you will do. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen again.
Amen.
Our God is great.
I'm taking the next teaching from one of our books, Online Ministerial Pattern, the one I'm holding. If you don't have this book, I will suggest you seize this opportunity to get your copy. Ushers will make it available. It is a treasure house. It contains a lot of things we need to know about the ministry of Paul the Apostle and how to prepare to minister and succeed like he succeeded. It has things to say about his personal life, his various experiences, his method, his patterns, his doctrines, his epistles, his co-ministers, his temptations, persecutions, his instructions, and many others. The topic we are looking at here is the main focus of his ministration. What he preached more than anything else. I'm reading from Acts chapter 20. Actually, I'm in page 179 of the book, Pauline Ministerial Pattern, the new edition, published in 2013. The first edition was published in 1998. And the second edition, the new edition, was published in 2013. I'm in page 197. Online Ministerial Pattern. Acts chapter 20, from verse 17. And from my letters, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've shewed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, if you pay serious attention to what we have in these few verses, you will see that it contains the summary of two things. The summary of the ministry of Paul in Asia, as well as a summary of his message. Everyone who would like to serve God the acceptable way, everyone who would like to be a successful servant of God, minister of the gospel, we need to read scriptures like this try to understand and try to copy it. In fact, Paul categorically demanded that people should be followers of him as he was a follower of Jesus. This message, he originally gave it to the elders of the Ephesian church. You remember how his ministry started at Ephesus? He actually went into the synagogue to preach, and a lot of people got converted. It went so well. No, he started by ministering to 12 people who had been disciples of John the Baptist. After ministering to them, he caused them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He prayed for them. They received the baptism with the Holy Ghost. According to Acts chapter 19, he led them into the synagogue of the Jews at Ephesus. And thus, he started his ministry in the place. For a space of 2 years from Ephesus, the gospel reached the whole of Asia. It went to the extent that many miracles were wrought. It was from there his apron and handkerchief were taken to distant places to cause people to be healed. In fact, some vagabond tried to counterfeit what he was doing, and demons cast them out. From Ephesus, he went to many other places, traveled the whole of Asia. At the close of his ministry, not only in Asia, but generally speaking, he traveled back. He was actually going to Jerusalem. At Miletus, he sent for the elders of the church at Ephesus. A well-established church was there at Ephesus by then. When the elders came, he said some things that were serious. In fact, the people were weeping as a result of what they heard from him. He actually told them that they were seeing his face for the last time. He was not coming back to Ephesus because he knew what was ahead of him. He now reminded them that you people will not forget, for the space of 2 years, I was going from house to house, from one place to another, ministering to you. He says something in verse 20, that every servant of God must endeavor to be able to repeat at the close of his ministry. He said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You know the meaning? Everything you needed to know, everything you needed to understand on this way of God, to enjoy God in life and in eternity, I endeavor to put within your reach. I endeavor to make available to you. You don't lack behind in anything. I did not hide from you anything that was profitable to you. But I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you meditate on this scripture, you will see that he summarized his ministry. And he said the ministry was a successful one. That he gave total commitment, total dedication. He gave the whole of his life into it. And he actually devoted his life to ministering to these people. And he felt he had made available to them all that they needed to know. But to summarize all he had been doing, all he had been teaching, all he had been preaching, he said, I have been saying to you I've been preaching to you repentance from all sins and faith in Jesus Christ. What is that telling you, brethren? What Paul was saying was that repentance from all sins and faith in Jesus Christ were the principal focus of his preaching ministry. Repentance, faith in Jesus. There are many topics we can preach about, we can talk about in doing the work of the ministry, in preaching the gospel, redemption, consecration, devotion, sanctification, and so many other shun. We can talk about healing. We can talk about faith. We can talk about prayer. We can talk about love. We can talk about joy, peace, satisfaction, progress, prosperity. So many topics. The Bible is full of topics. But to summarize everything he had been preaching and teaching, he said he had been preaching repentance and faith. Brethren, I want to discuss with us this morning about repentance as our primary message. What did I call it? Or let me put it this way, repentance and faith as our primary message. Repentance and faith. You cannot say faith and repentance. You better say repentance and faith. If you listen to radio, if you have the opportunity of going to some other churches, you will see that repentance have been removed completely from the preaching of many preachers. And where it is not totally removed, it has been relegated to the background. We are talking about expansion. Look at me. We are not talking about expansion of all the churches in the world. Is that what we are talking about here? Expansion of Bible pattern church. That's why we didn't invite pastors of other churches. If we had invited them, some of them would have loved to come, and they would have come. One of these days, God will help us that we invite people. We have invited pastors of other churches here before and minister to them. But this time, we are talking to ourselves as a church. If we are going to expand, we are not going to expand at all cost. We are not going to compromise for the sake of expansion. We are not going to drop our main message for the sake of expansion. We are not going to join hands with evildoers for the sake of expansion. We are not going to release our pulpits to religious merchants for the sake of expansion. We are going to hold on to the truth and expound in whatever way that we permit. So that may reduce how much expansion we are able to experience. Let the will of God be done. Everybody say, let the will of God be done. People are adjusting the gospel, tampering with the truth of the gospel for the sake of progress, prosperity, popularity, and so on and so forth. Bible Pattern Church will never be a part of that. If we ask you to lead a fellowship, call it House Fellowship, call it Neighborhood Fellowship, call it Worship Outside the Sanctuary, call it Back to the Bible in the Church, call it a House Church, call it a branch of the church. You minister at the headquarters, let it be settled in your heart that repentance and faith are our primary message, our primary focus. Somebody will say, Shebi, you say, peace, purity, power, prosperity, paradise. Peace. Number one. And you will not have that peace unless you have Jesus. And you are not going to have Jesus unless you repent from your sins and surrender your life to Him. I will prove it to you here that the idea of people accepting Jesus without repentance has no place in the Bible. I will show you. We are looking at 4 points under this study. Number one, the problem of perfected gospel. Number two, the place of repentance in gospel preaching. Number three, why every preacher must always emphasize repentance in his preachings. And number four, the need for faith towards God. If you look at that, you will see that out of the 4 points, three have to do with repentance. Only one for faith. When we get there, you will see why it is so. Repentance and faith in Christ were the primary focus of the preachings of all the true gospel preachers of old, apart from those who preached perfected gospel. We are looking at perfected gospel now. One of the characteristics of perfected gospel is to emphasize the need for people to accept Jesus and either say nothing about repentance or only pay lip service to repentance. But surely, it is not possible for anyone to truly accept Jesus without first repenting from all his sins. Faith in Christ, not accompanied with genuine repentance, will never bring true salvation. Faith in Christ, not accompanied with true repentance, will never bring salvation. I am about to unfold to you one of the greatest secrets of the gospel. If you are able to put these two scriptures in mind and always endeavor to see the relationship between the two, it will be difficult for you to accept the perfected gospel of faith without repentance. The two scriptures are Luke chapter 13, verse 3, and John 3:16. We can all read John 3:16. Shall we go? For God so loved. Okay, you have not started. Oh, yeah, start. John 3:16. 1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believe in Jesus will not do what? Come on, people. We not do what? We not do what? That is what people preach. It's in the Bible. That if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. You know what they then say? Once you believe in Jesus, you cannot perish. What about my fornication? You are fornicating, but you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. What about my lying? You are lying, but you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. That's the way they preach it, tactically. Come, I want to prove to you that they are serving the devil. Servants of Satan serve their master wherever they find themselves. If they find themselves behind church pulpit, they serve Satan behind church pulpit. And for those teachers who want to say, don't mind your pastor, you always overemphasize something, he's a fanatic. Listen very well. You will see the truth just now. You can prove it to anybody anywhere if you understand the truth I'm about to show you. Whosoever believes in Jesus will not do what? You know what? Until you genuinely repent, you will not be able to truly believe in Jesus. Until you truly repent, you will not be able to truly believe in Jesus. And it is when you truly believe in Jesus that you will not perish. Somebody will say, prove that from the Bible. I will prove it. I will show you. The two scriptures that I'm going to read to you are enough to prove it. We can use other ones to support it, but the two, once you understand the message, and thank God, the two are written with red ink in your Bible, meaning that they came directly, primarily from the lips of who? Jesus himself. Can you expect Jesus to contradict himself? Come on, people. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay. Do you take notice of that emphasis? I tell you, nay. Except ye repent, ye shall. Shall is a stronger form of will. They mean the same thing. When you want to lay extra emphasis on will, you use shall. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. All of you. That day Peter was there, James was there, John was there, Bartholomew was there, Andrew was there. The 70s were around. Other cake eaters, they were there. Miracle pursuers, they were there. All the women that worship him that came from Galilee, they were there. Plus the multitude. And Jesus said, actually some people came with a report. They came to tell Jesus the judgment that Pilate had passed on some people. Some people that were worshiping idol, and Pilate caused their blood to be mixed with the blood of the animal. And Jesus said, you think those people are more wicked than you? If you don't repent, all of you in the same way will perish. Come. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes in Jesus will not perish. Then Jesus says, except you repent, you will perish. And once you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. And once you don't repent, you will perish. What does that suggest to you? Repentance and believing in Jesus are so interwoven that you cannot separate one from the other. I don't know if you got that point. If you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. If you don't repent, you will perish. Pastors are now separating the two. They now preach to people that just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You are not saved by your work. It is not by your work. It is by the finished work of Jesus on the cross. If you could have saved yourself, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come to the world. Jesus came to the world and paid the price of your sin, and now, whatever you do, once you believe in Jesus, you will not perish. You won't be able to believe in Jesus the way you should believe. You won't be able to believe in Jesus the way you receive salvation unless you first repent from your sins. And thank God we are told in the Bible that you believe there is one God. Demons also believe. They even tremble, but they are not saved. It's no matter of mental knowledge. It's not a matter of just agreeing. There is a belief that makes you agree that somebody was born over 2,000 years ago by Mary, a virgin called Jesus. If you have that agreement, you say you believe. You must believe to the extent of taking the necessary step on that belief for you not to perish. I've illustrated it this way many times. I think using it at this time will not be bad. A magician tied a rope across a small river. And he was rolling a wheelbarrow on the rope from one side of the river to the other side. And people were hailing and praising him. After he has done it for a while, he looked at the crowd and said, "Do you believe that I can roll this wheelbarrow across this river on this rope?" He has been doing it. And everybody said, "Ah, we believe, man." Then he looked at a man. He said, "Man, do you believe I can roll the wheelbarrow across the river?" The man said, "You've been doing it, I believe." He said, "Get inside so that I roll you across." The man said, "I don't believe to that extent. I don't believe to that extent. If you don't believe Jesus to the extent of forsaking your pleasure of sin, fornication, lying, stealing, backbiting, evil whispering, everything contrary to the will of God. If you don't believe Jesus to the extent of abandoning your sinful life and surrendering the totality of your life to Jesus, you don't believe to the extent of not perishing. So please come. Bible Pattern Church will expound, but not at all cost. You know the meaning? We are not going to compromise. We are not going to adjust the gospel. We are not going to reduce our commitment. We will not even reduce the demand of God from men so that they will turn to our side. We hold on to the truth, the whole truth, the complete truth. Whatever expansion that we bring will be enough for us. You hear me, everybody? You hear me, everybody? You hear me, everybody? If you know the amount of compromise church people are putting into the church business today for the sake of enlargement and expansion, you'll be surprised. Search churches now. You will see gospel churches that have been pastored by chronic, stubborn, very wicked liars. Their wife knows her husband is a good liar. The children know their daddy is a wonderful liar. The church members know that their pastor play with lies and still is the pastor. He's still collecting tithe on behalf of the headquarters and bringing. He's still demanding for miracle from God on behalf of the members and they are enjoying it. He still has sugar-coated mouth so he can preach and make them feel excited. Repentance. Repentance. Repentance is the first step towards salvation. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense? The issue of perfected gospel. Perfected gospel is the gospel that suggests that people could be saved and start to enjoy the goodness of God, whether they genuinely turn away from their sins or not. But do you know what? Repentance is a major requirement of God from everyone that will have any form of relationship with Him. The beginning of any man's relationship with God is repentance. Tell your neighbor. You can make that your quotable quote. The beginning of the relationship of any man with God is repentance. Any man that has not taken that issue of repentance seriously cannot be a follower of Jesus in any way. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. "Repent ye therefore and be comforted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." The first thing is repentance before the blotting out of your sin. In Acts chapter 2 verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." No gift of the Holy Spirit will be received until you have repented. The preaching of faith in Jesus without strong emphasis on repentance, contrary to what we have in the Bible, is surely one of the things Paul called another gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 4. Let me read it to you. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well be out with him. In that scripture you had another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Many of the people that say they are preaching the gospel today, they are preaching another gospel. Many of the people who claim they are under the influence of the Holy Ghost today are being influenced by another spirit, not of God, not Holy Ghost. And many of in Jesus' name you hear today is not Jesus, son of Mary. It's another Jesus. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. Look at me. Your brother, your sister, with whom you were fellowshipping sometimes ago, may change his mind and go into one of these other gospels. If care is not taken, if you don't know how to separate yourself, he will pull you to it. He comes to share his testimony with you. He comes to tell you of all the wonderful things that are happening there and tells you what you will experience if you will come around. Before you know it, you are also into another gospel. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. But you know what Paul said about in verse 7? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will prefer the gospel of Christ. That's why I call it perverted gospel. And what is perverted gospel? This is the gospel that often emphasizes faith in Jesus without repentance. The emphasis on believe Jesus, accept Jesus, believe Jesus, accept Jesus, makes it to look like the same gospel we preach. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Christ. But the Bible says it is a perverted gospel. It is very popular today. And it has been producing all kinds of Christians all over the world. So how many types of Christians do we have? There are many. Christians who still smoke cigarettes. And they claim to be Christians. Christians who still tell lies. Some even behind pulpits. Christians who are still having fornicating partners. Maybe you don't know that some of these your gospel churches you have around today. When two people say they are going to marry each other, before the day of wedding, they are already sleeping on the same bed, calling each other husband, wife, honey, sweetheart, fornicating. So we'll see they still come to church. And the pastor will see us. If you know any reason why we shouldn't join our beloved brother and our wonderful sister together in holy wedlock, Didiri, stand up and say it. You say, they don't say Didiri. Okay. So if you are there, you raise your hand. When the pastor is not mad. Christians who still patronize witch doctors. You know this issue of witches and wizards, witches and wizards, witches and wizards. It's one of the strategies of Satan to draw believers back into patronizing Babalawo. You've not heard about somebody who claimed to be a believer saying, everywhere I went, they say it's my mother-in-law that is worrying me. Everywhere I went. How many ways has he been went in? Everywhere I went. How many places has he been going? Go and meet that man and say, where did you go? I've heard it from people. He said, Pastor, say so. When I went to that prophet, he said so. In fact, there is this Baba, they say it's Babalawo, but he used to see something. He too says the same thing. Child of God, going to Babalawo. And the message of Babalawo and that of Pastor are in agreement. Are they not serving the same God? I've told you, if wishes are disturbing your life, they don't leave you alone. Sede Ogunsonya is not your pastor. You are only deceiving yourself. I'm not your pastor. You are not my member. You say you are my pastor. I pay my tithe here. Go and collect your tithe where you pay amok. I'm not your pastor. I don't know you. If Jesus comes tomorrow, Oju Ebayi, koro koro, your eyes like this. Sir, I don't know him. He said, that would be lie. The Bible said, don't lie. Jesus says some people will say that day in your name we cast out devils. And angels will say, oh yes. In your name we perform a lot of miracles. Heavenly hosts will say, yes, it happened. And here Jesus said, I will confess and say to you, I never. All the time you are doing it in my name. But as far as I'm concerned, no relationship with you. If God disowned you, who am I to say, I know you? I don't know you. Repentance! Repentance! Repentance is the number one demand of God from anyone that will have any relationship with Him. And that is our message. That is our sermon. Forever and never. Amen. Why do we need to hammer this in our hearings? Because of the popularity and prosperity of the perfected gospel that we have all around us today. Perfected gospel is producing all kinds of Christians. Christians who are still members of secret cults. Somebody told me that a deacon died. And as they were to bury the deacon, Ogoni people came and said it was their member. A pastor died in Lagos, very popular pastor. When I didn't know him, but that day, people were just calling my phone. Did you hear Pastor Lagbeja is dead? Another one called. Did you hear Pastor Lagbeja is dead? I said, I don't know the pastor. I later did some research. I'm not sure I've not heard the name before, but I didn't know him. They said, the night before he was buried, Ogoni people did 9 Fiji throughout the night for him. We'll be buried tomorrow. They did 9 Fiji. Doing all their thing they do in the secret, they were doing it in the open for the sake of a pastor. Popular pastor in Lagos. A pastor died in Lagos. After his death, people were trying to clean the church and clean the office. They came out with 2 human skulls from his office. And if you are saying, hey, about that one, some women came, not one, I don't know how many they were, but I learned that they were not, it wasn't one woman. And said, I'm the one who manufactured this statement. You say, why do you manufacture? I didn't hear what they said exactly. I can't quote them verbatim, but they said something like this. But I'm the one who manufactured this. People, come and look at the face of this baby and see that it resembles that of daddy. Daddy has settled me. I'm not demanding for inheritance. I'm not demanding for anything. I only want you to know that this baby I'm carrying is daddy's baby. Woman 1, woman 2, I don't know whether they are out to 3 or 4. Outside the marriage. Lagos, very popular man of God. They said they are not demanding for anything. Daddy has settled us. He has given them sufficient money. They only want the acknowledgement that this is his child. The they are gathering. If you see people there. I remember in those days when we were doing our Shuka Shuka television program. You know, we do Shuka Shuka television program before. We were meeting at a... what do you call the... where we used to do the recording. We used to come there, I know. We used to come there to do the recording. We are the most popular people in Lagos. Died. It's called in the office. If it's like that with the pastor, how will it be with the members? Perfected gospel has been producing all kinds of Christians. Christians who go to church only when it is convenient. That's another group. They are so busy with politics. So busy with business. So busy with traveling. So busy with my family issue. That they only go to church when it is convenient. But they are born again, they are Christian according to the pastor. Because they bring their tithe. Christians who see nothing wrong with divorcing their wives, husbands, and marrying and others. He's kissing the woman, hugging the woman in the public, calling her honey, calling her biscuit, calling her shishin, calling her everything. Suddenly, he realized that the woman is a witch. They separate. Some months after, he's having another sheshe. In case you don't know, some of the churches, when you hear the pastor saying, this is my beloved, this is my honey, this is my sugar, this is my pancake. Look at the face very well. The face of that woman does not resemble the face of the children of the pastor that you know. You say, why? The mother is somewhere else. You say, is this a murderer? Give her a name you like. But it's another wife. Christians, each of whom have more than one living spouse. Christians who still keep malice. Even the pastor himself. You see, this issue of calling this wish, calling that wish. There is no how you can be calling people wishes that there be no hatred in your heart. Malice. Was it not the doctrine of Hitler that says you cannot fight any man that you don't hate? And therefore, for his soldiers to be able to fight well, he first indoctrinate them, planting in their heart special hatred for the people they are fighting. That is what is called anti-Semitism. Hatred for the Jews. Hitler created it in the heart of his soldiers. That when they see a Jewish baby, they have passion to destroy. Eagerness to destroy. Hatred. That's what is happening in churches today. Go to any church. Immediately, Holy Ghost fire. Ojo won. Anytime you go to any church, you don't see them on TV. If it's all of you will lift up your voices and give glory to God, they are saying, glory to God, honor to God, praises to God. Immediately, you now lift up your voices and see anybody that say you will not do well. Holy Ghost fire. What will happen? Jesus. Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, they shout. You say, why? Their hearts are full of hatred. Hatred. Is that Christianity? Jesus says, for you are meek and lowly in heart. Christianity. Perfected Christianity have been producing all kinds of Christians. Christians that fight with their mouths, with their hands, in some cases, with juju. A pastor, an assistant pastor, were quarreling. We don't know what they are fighting for. Praise the Lord. One was bathing in the bedroom. The other went with petrol, pour it on the bedroom, and set him ablaze. You see what happened to the one in the bedroom? He died. Anybody who can use prayer to kill, can you also use any other thing to kill? A murderer is a murderer. We have a lot of murderers in churches today. They operate in the name of Christianity. Perfected gospel has produced Christians who use beating to correct their wives. Christians who use cursing to correct their children. Christians who patronize prostitutes. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8 says, it was Paul talking there, or any angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, what is the need for repentance in gospel preaching? What am I talking about, my brethren? You are workers in Bible Pattern Church. You are ministers in Bible Pattern Church. You are operators of Bible Pattern Machine. And we are talking about the expansion of the church. And I've told you that there is no how this church can expand through me alone. It's not possible. Through your pastor alone, it's not possible. All of us, we need to play greater role. Cover more area for God, for this church to expand. I want you to understand that as you go to anywhere we send you, the message of repentance must be number one. Anybody who will be a member of Bible Pattern Church must start by first repenting from his what? His sins. You are ready to believe Jesus, but you are not ready to repent. You are not ready to be a member of this church, let alone a minister. I read that scripture again to you. Acts chapter 20, now verses 20 and 21. It says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you this story before. It was genuine. Ryan Bonke went to Kenya to minister. In those days when Arab Moi was the president of Kenya, as Ryan Bonke was ministering in the church before the beginning of the crusade, Arab Moi coming to the surface. You say, is it to hormone the German preacher? Who knows? I don't know if Arab Moi have been going to church like that before, but he attended that day. And Ryan Bonke preached his sermon, closed. Later, it was agreed that Ryan Bonke should do courtesy call to the president. Ryan Bonke now went to the office of the president. You know what the president did? Arab Moi, when he would greet Ryan Bonke, shook his hand and said, for the first time, I entered the church and the pastor did not change his sermon because of my presence. Did you hear that? Arab Moi must have observed that when anytime he went to a church, the pastor will leave the sermon and face Baba what hello Mandeo. No, I don't know what Sunday was. But Ryan Bonke said, I preached my sermon as if he was not there. I don't know if Arabmue was born again as a dead, but Arabmue congratulated him that he did not change his sermon because of my presence. You know what Arabmue did? He ordered all the television stations in Kenya to carry the crusade of Reabonke life. That's the gospel. Everybody say that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Some pastor, if they see a rich man enter their church, whatever the topic, it will change to money. Yes, we want to go to Ondo and there is no money and we pray that God will bring the money. This money, Holy Ghost told me that the money is on the way. Who are they targeting? May that not be the portion of Bible pattern.
Amen.
So Paul said, I have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, that is the rich and the poor, the sojourners and the indigents, the great and the small, the old and the young. You lie, you say the black and the white. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Why must we take repentance seriously? The command of God. You know what God says? It is not in Luke chapter 24 verse 46. I said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know when this was said? After Jesus had died and resurrected. It was said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name of Jesus. You know the meaning of that? Anybody that is not laying strong emphasis on repentance is not preaching Jesus. Is not preaching salvation of the Bible. Is not preaching the gospel. The definition of repentance. What is repentance? I love the definition of Nelson Illustrated Bible Dictionary. A turning away from sin, obedience, or rebellion, and a turning back to God. Take note. Repentance makes you to turn away from sin. It makes you to turn away from, I beg your pardon, disobedience, not obedience. It makes you to turn away from sin, from disobedience, and from rebellion. And it makes you to turn over your life to God. In a more general sense, repentance means a change of mind. Genesis 6:6-7. Or a feeling of remorse or regret for past conduct. Matthew 27:3. True repentance is a godly sorrow for sin. An act of turning around and going in the opposite direction. This type of repentance leads to a fundamental change in a person's relationship with God. End of quote. I so much agree with that definition that I don't think I need to say anything than to say that is repentance. Repentance is a change of direction. Everybody say it. You have been facing sin. You now turn to face God. That's repentance. Any repentance, any form of repentance that does not lead to turning away from all sins altogether is not genuine. I mean the kind of repentant religious people have, and they still need to confess sins every Sunday. Some people will tell you, yes, repentance, yes, it's necessary, it's necessary. And every time they hold service, after saying, let's give thanks to God, the next thing is, we will now confess our sins to God. Listen to me, pastors. Be zealous for God, though. or don't be overzealous. Hear me. Usa did not fornicate. He did not smoke cigarette. He didn't steal you. He didn't lie. What did he do? He went beyond his boundary in handling the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was about to fall. God expected him to allow it to fall rather than to disobey God by touching it. And as he touched it, God struck him and he died. May that not be your portion. You want us to expound. You want us to have new branches. Does that now permit you to put a fornicator as a branch leader? You know this sister is not living right. You need a crossing leader for the new branch. Do you now make her the crossing leader and say she will repent by and by? Terrible judgment will come on your head. Terrible judgment will come.
Okay, excuse me, sir. Well, we now have anybody that will lead the fellowship, Unko. Let the fellowship be without chorus, you.
First John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Listen, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message. You know, I highlighted this in the book. If you have a copy of the book, verse 11. For this is the message that ye had from the beginning, that we should love one another. If care is not taken, you will limit it to love. All he was saying there was the message they had from the beginning. A part of the message says the one that is committing sin is of the devil. Go to some churches now. They preach repentance. But at the beginning of the services, they confess sin. Come. If you make a brother an house leader, and you go to share what is happening in the house of fellowship, or somebody report to you, that at the beginning of the fellowship, say, let's give thanks to God. After that, say, we will now confess our sins. That's a carryover from where it's coming from. What is that suggesting to you? You have made a mistake by putting wrong person in charge of the fellowship. What is the next thing? Look for somebody else to replace him. He will get angry and pull out his family, his wife, his children, and they are the greatest number in the church. It's better your pastor 2 sheep of God than to pastor 2,000 goats. There is no shepherd of goats in my Bible. That statement is better said in Yoruba. Don't make a brother, so called, that is sinning, a leader of youth, a leader of teenagers, a leader of the choir, youth children choir. Judgment will come on your head. Terrible judgment.
Excuse me, sir. The fellowship will close down since there is nobody to close the fellowship.
Ask the members to go to the next one. He said they will not go. It means we are not qualified to have a branch there yet. Listen. Not all of them. For some of the branches we have closed in the past, we closed them because we didn't have the right type of person to lead them. I've told you many times, we had a branch, 2 branches we had at Lokoja. 2. Brother Adeolu was the instrument God used in starting the branches. As at the time we are closing Lokoja, our attendance was close to 70 or thereabouts. I have gone to Lokoja to do crusade a number of times I cannot remember. I'm sure it wasn't once, it wasn't twice. I can't remember the number of times. And you have some branches today where I've not done crusade. And I've gone to Lokoja several times. We've had serious testimony. I remember a woman that had an accident then who had not been going out and was managed to and brought to one of the crusades at Lokoja. And after the prayer of that day, God healed the woman to the extent that the second day she was able to go to market. It happened at Lokoja. Why did we close Lokoja? We moved the headquarters of Bible Pattern Church from Ikoli to Lagos. So the headquarters was no longer close to Lokoja like before. I had some stories about the pastor there, the full-time pastor. He did not fornicate. He did not steal. He did not drink alcohol. In fact, he didn't commit any sin. But I won't tell you the details. I concluded in my heart that I won't be able to supervise Lokoja. Our brother there, Brother Olu, have relocated to Abuja. If I leave this brother in Lokoja, he may ruin his life. You know that up till today, he was never told why he left Lokoja. You say, well, I didn't need to discipline. He didn't commit any sin. But I concluded in my heart that the only thing we can do to rescue him was to close Lokoja. God, there was no other person to go there. I called him. I called Abuja pastor. I said, go to Lokoja. Go and call the pastor of Deeper Life in Lokoja. Bring him to our church. We are using a classroom. I think it should be a primary school or secondary school. That's where we use for fellowship. I said, officially hand over Bible Pattern Church Lokoja to that pastor. Call all our members. We had a branch at a place they call Ologongoma. We had a branch at the main Lokoja township. Bring the members of the branch. Hand over the church to Deeper Life pastor. And tell him, go with all the members. Carry our offering box, carry up with anything we have there, give to them. And tell them we cannot run the church. Make sure the people go to heaven. If we come back to Lokoja, if any of them is interested in us, he can come back. Since then, we have not gone back to Lokoja. And that is how we stopped to have a branch at Lokoja till today. So what are you saying? I don't permit you to go and open a branch and put a person whose life is not in agreement with the word of God. If you do it in the name of expansion, you are on your own. All these branch, you see churches, branch, 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 everywhere. Some of the people pastoring some of these so-called branches are crook. A story that was told here. Maybe Brother Peter or Dad have gone with where he went to do a program. He was the one that brought the story from his branch where he was pastoring. Okay. The branch where he brought the story. I'm in the process of closing the branch now. So he in Lagos? Yes. I didn't permit them to fellowship last week. You say, why? I can't tell you this story. You say, is it because of Bravita? Not Bravita. But the person because of whom we went take permission from his work, himself and his wife must come to me. Tell him that if they don't come to me before Sunday, before next Sunday, from next Sunday, there'll be no more church there. And last Sunday was the next Sunday. And I didn't allow him to go. Tomorrow he will not be going. Then you close the fellowship. I close the fellowship.
You are going to give account on the life of everyone you claim you are leading on the path of God. We have closed branches before. And you can be sure we will see closed branches tomorrow. If we feel that we don't have somebody else to handle the branch, and the one that is handling it is not doing what is expected to do, or is not living right. I have to come with this because we are talking of expansion. We are not expounding at all costs. Are you there? It was that same Rabbi Peter that brought this case from the same area where he has his church. In fact, the day I went to look at the area, he was pointing to the direction of the church. But it was too far for us to see. An assistant pastor bought a car, brought it to his pastor for blessing. His pastor blessed the car for him. He moved away from the pastor. I don't know whether a few days after, at gunpoint, the car was snatched. Or the car was taken away. That was how he lost the car. You know, they will pray, they will search. The car was nowhere to be found. A friend of that assistant pastor was at Ibadan to buy a car. He went to car dealer and saw a car he liked and was examining it. At a closer look, he discovered it was the car of his friend snatched in Lagos. They didn't carry it across the border. They carried it to Ibadan to sell. He searched the car. He saw something, a weather picture or something, that confirmed his fear. He pretended that he needed somebody that would help him to look at the car. He now sent to his friend in Lagos and said, come quickly to Ibadan. When the friend got to Ibadan, he confirmed that it was his car. He invited police. He got the dealer. The dealer brought the supplier. But when they took the supplier to the police station, the supplier told them, please, we will show you who is behind it. Do you know who was your guy of the car snatcher? The pastor that blessed the car. Peter will soon come. It didn't happen in Tanzania, Lagos. The pastor was the one that sent the boys that snatched the car of his assistants, Lagos. If I call the name of the church, all of you say, ha! So branch, expansion. Our own expansion is different too. So you don't go back to your session and say, we want to expand like Edipa, like, we want to expand like Redeem, we want to expand like Foursquare, we want to expand like, Do I say all those churches are bad? Do I say they are expanding wrongly? I'm only saying we are not copying the expansion of any church. We want to expand like which church? Like Bible pattern. That's the kind of expansion we want. Not the expansion that people will come to church this Sunday. The following Sunday, they are singing in the choir. The journey starts with repentance. Where does it start? Until we succeed in making a person to repent from all his sins. He can't function in Bible. He can come to hear the word of God, but he cannot function as a minister, let alone a worker. Am I understood? For this is the message ye had, that ye had from the beginning. That was the beginning of the gospel. The first sermon of Jesus is recorded in Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first sermon of John the Baptist was recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. It was repentance. The first sermon of Peter is recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 28. It was repentance. I read to you in chapter 20 of Acts, where Paul said the summary of his sermon was repentance and faith in Christ. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, the issue of confession of sin is what I want to show you. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Who will have mercy? The one that confess and forsake. Do you know the truth, everybody? When you confess your sin and forsake it, you won't have it to confess again. If you forsake the sin you have confessed, you will not have it to confess again. Any church you go and the members have sin to confess all the time, it is a proof that the ones they confess in the past, they have not forsaken, or they have started to commit new ones. Am I understood? The example of Jesus. By preaching repentance from all sins and faith in Jesus Christ, Paul was only following the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not start his preaching work until after his temptation in the wilderness. The first message he preached is that which I have read to you in Matthew 4, 17. But let me read it again. From that time, Jesus began. Everybody say began. I can't hear you well. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The word began in this statement suggests that the preaching of repentance was what Jesus continued to do even after this time. From that time, okay, let's put it this way. From that day, the man began to ride a bicycle. You know the meaning. It is bicycle, he is still riding. From that time, Jesus began to preach repentance. You know what he suggests? After then, he continued to preach repentance. Anybody that doesn't take repentance seriously is not into the ministry of the gospel, is in something else. The gospel of Mark shows that it was not only repentance Jesus was preaching. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, Jesus came to Galilee, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And what's the gospel of the kingdom? Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If we meditate on this scripture very well, you will see that the gospel of the kingdom which Jesus preached had to do primarily with repentance from sin and faith in him. No one is truly preaching Jesus today if he is not laying very serious emphasis on the repentance from all sins. We'll stop here. Stand up. We are going to group ourselves 4-4. Get 3 people to join you. 4-4. Baba wa ya wa lenu. Baba wa shisha iyanu funwa, baba wa da wa lomu, baba wa go adura wa oya. Many of the churches that are corrupted today started well. But along the line, they compromise. I fear this when Bible Pattern Church was to start. So the first workers' meetings that we had, one of the topics we treated at the first workers' program like this that we had, not a year after, at the beginning, one of the topics we treated was the problem of people that started well and could not end well. 32 years have come and almost gone. In July, it will be 30 what? I think it's July that it will be 32 years that we started. We are still able to remind ourselves that we are not going to compromise. In your group, you will pray. Baba, expansion. I would have loved to say it in Yoruba. Allah mama de oda ko ba fun Bible pattern o. May I expansion not become akoba. What is akoba? Akoba adaba? Huh? May it not be disaster. May it not be backsliding or Bible pattern. You will now put it the way you like. You may say pray for the pastors that wahala will not enter their head. That when they leave Karaole for their station, say, don't mind daddy for Lagos, Jare. Anybody who goes the way daddy say we should go, na bicycle go right till he die. Maybe you don't know that some people don't even have money to ride bicycle and they are still alive. If it is bicycle that will make us to get to heaven, may we ride good one. Amen. So you may pray for the pastors. You may pray for house leaders. They are also important. If an house leader is smoking cigarette, you know what happened to us before? Abraham Joe will remember. When we were at Okera, 1988, we had an organ. There was no organist. What do we do? A Ghanaian was introduced to us that he could play organ. So we employ him to come and be playing organ for us. I can't remember the way we were playing. He played organ for us for a while. One day, we learned that he was smoking. I said, he don't play the last organ. He has played the last organ, though. You say, what follow? No more organ. Until God did another miracle. No more organ. So, any way you can put it, the choristers, the pastors, the GO, everybody in Bible pattern, may God keep us at the center of his will. What will make us to abandon the right path and go the wrong way and destroy our own life and the lives of those who come under the shadow, under the shelter of Bible pattern? May it not happen to us. I'm sure you got the point. If you really understand, be number one in your group and lay example for the rest of people. Oh yeah, start. You are praying for Bible pattern church. We'll stay at the center of the will of God. We preach only the true gospel, not perfected gospel. Not gospel of perfection.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Number two, follow that example. Pray for Bible pattern. Amen. Number three, you are praying for Bible Pattern Church. We will not fall. We will not fail. We will not derail. The last person. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you because of your hand upon our lives. Thank you because of the way you are going about this program. Thank you for the answer to our prayers.
Thank you for the pain that we have taken to pray upon these topics. Father, we know the Israelites were under the cloud. And the Bible says they were all baptized unto Moses. All of them passed through the sea. All of them had testimonies. Bible Pattern Church, we have testimonies. We already have evidences that you are with us. Lord, we are all praying that may the testimonies that we have seen, may it go round in Jesus' name. You spoke concerning the Israelites. You said, but with all of them, God was not pleased. Father, we have congregated together. If they passed through the Red Sea and they saw the testimonies, we have all seen the testimonies, your aunt in our lives, our daddy is seeing it and is showing them unto us. Evidences that you are here with us. Evidences that you are leading us along. But you said, but with some of the Israelites who are not indeed Israelites. There were some of them that were not actually Israelites. Even though they all saw the testimonies, their hearts were not with Moses. Father, we pray here. Though the church is big, we cannot say we are small. We ask, O Lord, as it is spoken today, Father, so shall it be among us in Jesus' name. Lord, we unite our hearts in one. And we say, Lord, that which has been said, we shall do in Jesus' name. Father, expansion we shall have in Jesus' name, but not at all cost. Lord, we ask, whatever has made those who are not Israelites not to be Israelites, and when the gods to the troublous places, some of them said, is it this manna that is giving us things that were pleasant to them? Lord, we ask, they suddenly turned otherwise. Daddy, our testimony that you are sharing today according to that which has been given to us, we are not going to change our legs, we will not change our minds, that that which has been delivered unto us, we shall follow suit in Jesus' name. Daddy, we ask, Lord, this expansion will not become disaster unto us. It has been delivered unto us already. We are going with it. We are running with it. And we ask, O Lord, those things that happened to the Israelites of their time, and though they were together, they were not one. It will not happen here in Jesus' name. No divided attention in Jesus' name. No divided mind in Jesus' name. We have prayed in this place. When the prayer was going on, I observed that some of us were blowing ourselves. I saw the focus with which our daddy was directing us, even though it is not altogether sweet. I knew it must have been you that delivered the zeal that warranted your prayers, even despite the long day, the long time of the sermon. Father, I ask that which you have in focus, it will be achieved in our lives in Jesus' name. The way Moses and Joshua brought Israelites together and expounded the laws unto them, that is, we have all seen it. And we have unanimously agreed that which you have spoken, we shall do in Jesus' name. Every minister here, we will do the same thing. We will do the right thing. That which has been delivered unto us, we shall do. That which you have not sent us, we are not going to do. This is our unanimous decision. May it be binding on us. Thank you, Almighty Father. More strength we ask for, more grace to continue. Father, your spirit you are using to help us. We know all of us have testimonies already. We already know from the beginning of ages, ages to this time, we have evidences that you have delivered this work unto us. The hand that has done it unto this, our Ebenezer, we will follow the hands in Jesus' name. Daddy, we thank you because you will lead us more. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen.